Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the season opener. It is finally time for some regular season football. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We got David James over there hitting these switches, making that music fade and my voice expand. David, what's going on?
Man, nothing much, man. Just out here vibing with you. I'm ready for the season to start.
That's it right there. So today's show, we're going to kick off our NFL Nation ESPN reporter series. Each week we'll bring you a conversation with the Titans opposing team ESPN NFL Nation reporter. So we got Jordan Rodnan coming on today. Why? Because the Titans are facing the Giants. And of course, Run TMC, we're going to keep that train going. But before we do that, let's go ahead and break down this matchup, because there's a lot to watch. So much newness here as far as the Giants are concerned. You got Mike Kafka, former Chiefs, I guess OC, calling the plays. Obviously, Andy Reid was the primary guy up there in Kansas City. And not OC, but just assistant to the OC. I guess you got to forget what his role was. We know Eric Bieniemy was the OC there in Kansas City, and he and Andy Reid were calling the plays. But nevertheless, Kafka is going to be calling the plays for the Giants this season. That is Brian Daboll's OC with New York. And obviously, there are some things to look at with the Chiefs. And then you also have to dial in to what the Bills did there in with Daboll, right, there in Buffalo, and just the success that they were able to find. So when you look at the offense, for me, you know, I think it obviously starts with the quarterback, and Brian Daboll was brought in to reincarnate a quality quarterback in Daniel Jones, and it's going to be interesting watching how that works. One of the things that I do see so similar, though, is just their running ability, Jones and Josh Allen. Now, I'm not saying Josh Allen is like a comp for Daniel Jones, because he's obviously not. But don't get it twisted. Jones is pretty solid running the football. In fact, I believe he was top five in rushing last year for quarterbacks. Now, obviously, you know, that's a different story when you talk about Josh Allen. But still, the ability to make it 11-on-11 football is really important. So it starts there. Then you look at just a combination of the two things that the Chiefs and the Bills did. I look at Kadarius Toney, right? And with him, he's such a lethal playmaker. He's a guy, you know, entering year two, there's a lot expected out of him. In fact, the Titans, you know, when they practice, number 89 is being worn by Des Fitzpatrick. You know, just for them to get a habit of identifying where 89 is with the football, you know, before the snap. That's something that stands out to me. Kadarius Toney, you look at Tyreek Hill, you look at Stephon Diggs, and there's different things that they were able to do in both areas to isolate Diggs. And one of the things that and Hill, in fact, they moved those guys inside to the slot. So sometimes you would see like a trips formation, and you have, or like a trips look, and you'll have Diggs or Hill as number two. And especially with Hill, he would be number two. Travis Kelce, the tight end, would be isolated backside. And he'll run like a crossing route, an in-breaking route. And then you would see Tyreek Hill run a deep over route, like a almost like an arrow route to clear it out. And then you have underneath working. But as Kelce would continue to dominate in the middle of the field, the safety would start to cheat up, and then they'll go to Tyreek Hill. Now, why am I saying that? Obviously, Tyreek Hill is a different level of player than Kadarius Toney as far as speed is concerned and just overall playmaking. But there are still things that you could do. And I think what the Giants are going to do is, instead of the tight end, in this case it would be Daniel Bellinger out of San Diego State, instead of him being out there as Travis Kelce, I think you're going to have Kenny Galladay out there running that deep in-breaking route. And then you'll have Kadarius Toney running the arrow. That's a way to kind of put the safety in a bind, right? And force him to make a decision. You just kind of read off of that. And that's get an easy high-low read for the quarterback just in the middle of the field. The other thing that I saw Buffalo, just shifting gears to them with Stephon Diggs, they would have Diggs a lot of times as number three, the furthest in most inside receiver. And they'll have the two clear outs, and then he'll run an outbreaking route and he would get open. Or, you know, you'll see him run a corner route, kind of like a smash concept. They did that to score a lot of touchdowns in the red zone. So those are some of the things I'm expecting to see. And Wandale Robinson is another guy that you can't overlook, who's a pretty good playmaker. And then on top of all that, you got Saquon Barkley. I remember the last time the Titans played the Giants, I spoke to Kenny Vaccaro about Saquon, and he said if God were to make a running back, it would be Saquon Barkley. I know a lot of you will say, hey, wait a minute. What about number 22, Derrick Henry? And I think God had running backs in mind when he made Derrick Henry too. Don't get it twisted. But one of the things that stand out to me about Saquon Barkley is his pass-catching ability and ability to run routes. He does that better than Derrick Henry. Let's just call a spade. However, if you look at some of the things that Buffalo did, again, the Brian Daboll influence, that's why we're focusing on Buffalo. He would motion Devin Singletary out of the backfield and have him line up as number one in that trips look that we touched on earlier with Stephon Diggs. Now, you get Barkley matched up against a linebacker, you try to, you know, get that in a favorable matchup, and there's different things you could do. You know, you could motion him, jet sweep type of look. You could have him do, you know, some of those now routes. There's different things that you could do. So that gives you another opportunity to get him the football. That's something else that I would be focusing on. I do think the Titans, their front, even without Harold Landry, which is a major loss, I still think they have an advantage over the Giants. Granted, with New York, you're looking at a rookie left tackle and Evan Neal, but a darn good one, you know. So that's going to be a good matchup there, whoever is lined up, and we know that they rotate sides. Then Andrew Thomas, you know, coming back at left tackle. So Dupree, Howard Weaver, Denico Autry, all these guys, they're going to have to really, you know, do their thing to get that pressure on Daniel Jones and make him turn the football over. And that's one of the things that Kevin Byard said. He knows that Daniel Jones is a guy who will turn the football over, but he's not just going to give it to you. You have to force him to make those mistakes. That's what I'd be looking for as far as the offense is concerned. The defense is a different story. And I think when you look at what they do with Wink Martindale, you know, one of the things that he has two principles, right? Three primarily. And the first one is to always create ways to get a free runner to the quarterback. So what he does with that is you never know who's blitzing. You got the overload blitzes, which typically has some type of stunt or twist up front. And all of these things, what they focus on doing is stressing protection rules. And that's something coaches hate, pressure, especially interior pressure. They hate seeing their quarterback get killed. We know that. That's obvious. But in order to account for that, every week they have meetings and focus on protection. I asked Coach Vrabel about just what Wink Martindale's scheme does and how it stresses your offensive line, stresses your quarterback and receivers, tight ends, etc., because you have sight adjustments that you have to create or, you know, fine tune. Here's what he had to say about that.
You can't basically cover everything. You're not sure which package you're going to get. Each and every week, a lot of credit to the players that they have. The scheme is very good, but you know, being able to bring guys and essentially run the same pressure, but just from, you know, different guys doing it and different guys dropping into those zones or the man that they have. So they've done a great job of it, and it's certainly going to be something that we'll have to be prepared for on Sunday.
And then having a rookie right tackle, like, how do you – balance, okay, I need to help him out, I don't need to help him out. How do you balance that equation?
Well, see, I'm, there's see how the game goes, and there'll be protections where we'll slide to the right, and there'll be protections where we slide to the left, and we'll see. We'll have to see how the game's going.
So flow of the game is very important. In fact, that was one of the things I asked Kevin Byard about and Coach Vrabel about. With so much newness, right? There's a filling out period, so you have to try to just get an idea for what they're trying to do. And you know that they're going to attack the quarterback. Like, that's just – it's going to happen. They're going to attack. And one of the things that Coach Vrabel said is they're not going to just be cautious as far as the Titans are concerned. They're going to attack back. And that's really – you fight fire with fire. So for me – one of the big concerns with the Titans offense is lack of big plays. Okay, that is a legit concern. Here's what I think could be an answer to that. The sight adjustments, right? So you have that blitz coming. And what happens when you have when you're blitzing, especially so heavy, the way Martindale's defenses typically do, you have one-on-one looks on the outside. Now, you ask any receiver worth anything, how they approach one-on-one matchups, hey, bro, you disrespected me. That's what you get, you know, from a receiver. That's disrespectful to have one-on-one with me and maybe have safety help over top. So you have the sight adjustment. You got all those guys coming. Burks runs the slant. He catches it. We know he's a bigger receiver. He's a guy, look, averages a lot after catch in college. If he catches it, breaks that tackle, there's not really much left to help him, I mean, to help out as far as stopping him. So that's a way you could get a big play. It's just like when they stack eight in a box against Derrick Henry, right? You get to the second level, all right, you make the safety miss, don't hit your head on the goalpost. So that's a way they could get explosive plays. But there's other things that you have to factor into this, man, because, again, the sight adjustments are so critical. You have to be able to, you know, recognize that blitz coming, recognize where it's coming from. But you have to fine-tune it, too, because there is a look. Like I did on Whiteboard Wednesday. I put together, one of the nickel blitzes that I saw the Ravens do under Martindale. Now, mind you, with this blitz and why I'm so heavy on the blitz, is because Wink Martindale, he was the Ravens OC or DC for 4 years. The first 3 years, they were first in blitz percentage. Last year, they were sixth. That lets you know right there. And the reason why they were sixth last year, in my opinion, because when you blitz, as we mentioned, it puts a lot more stress on your corners. Guess who was out last year? Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. So you got guys shuffling in, and they didn't have Jimmy Smith for the first time. So you got guys shuffling in. And, Jimmy Smith was there for a bit, but he wasn't the same Jimmy Smith. So you got guys shuffling in. I don't know that you could trust them as much as you could trust a Marcus Peters and a Marlon Humphrey. So that's probably why that blitz percentage dropped. But nevertheless, side adjustments are key. They're going to blitz the nickel. And then at other times, you'll have the safeties up in the box mugging the gaps. And they're standing up. You got linebackers standing up. And you have one guy down. It could be, you know, Leonard Williams. It could be Dexter Lawrence. Who knows? But that one guy hand in the dirt, everyone else standing up, you have to really decipher who's dropping and who's coming. So that's why you have to spend a little more extra time. And I actually asked Ryan Tannehill about that as well, you know, the fine-tuning, the side adjustments. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, just making sure we're trying to get into a good play, you know, whether it's a protection check, a run check, whatever the case may be, you know, having a plan. You know, they're going to throw something that we haven't seen at us. They do every time. So just being able to adjust to it, you know, within the game and try to get yourselves in good situations.
Do you find yourself spending a little more time with the receivers this week? You know, just fine-tuning side adjustments and those things?
Yeah, you know, we've been going against our defense, so it hasn't been a whole lot of nuances outside the normal meetings. You know, there's constantly that back and forth, but this is the first game plan we've had with a few of these guys on this team. So, you know, going through that process of what it looks like on third down, what it looks like in situational football against this specific defense.
So that right there is just a little insight from Ryan Tannehill on how they – I like that he mentioned how it is new, right? You got Austin Hooper, Chigakonkwo, Kyle Phillips, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks. These are all new receivers to him. It is very critical for them to be on the same page on these type of situations. So that's why you're seeing them spend a little more time. It was a great point by Ryan Tannehill. Now, I mentioned Kyle Phillips, and, you know, what we'll do each week is just give, like, what I consider to be my favorite matchup in the game. And my favorite matchup in this game is Kyle Phillips in the slot against Darnay Holmes. That, to me, is going to be something to watch. These guys are former UCLA teammates. Darnay Holmes is a guy, if you remember, a couple years ago with the draft series, we had him on, and he was a guy I know the Titans really liked. He was kind of like an understudy of Dory Jackson. Dory had a big influence on him. They're both Cali guys. Speaking of which, Junipero Serra is going to have two Cali guys, two high school guys there, and Robert Woods and Adoree. But getting back to Holmes, that's a matchup I want to see. And I talked to Phillips about that and just a few other things. Here's Kyle Phillips.
A lot of time in meetings just, you know, watching their defense, you know, seeing how they operate, and just, you know, our coach want to give us the best opportunity to go out there, play fast, and win. So we've been doing.
And what do you think of their secondary? You know, you're probably going to be matched up a lot with Darnay Holmes. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, I'm excited to go against Darnay. You know, we played at UCLA together, yeah. So, you know, got a little knowledge of him under. So I'm real excited to go against him. Just real excited to see him again also.
And then speaking of UCLA, just in watching, like, very advanced route running, understanding spaces, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How much did Chip Kelly's scheme just really, like, prepare you to be able to, you know, hit the ground running the way you have to?
Yeah, I feel like it prepared me tremendously. You know, he expects a lot out of his players. You know, it's not just shredded plays here, what they are. You know, there's a lot of reads within the routes and the plays. So it's really difficult to learn at first, but made the transition to the NFL a little bit more easy.
You think that was kind of like a key for you to be able to play so fast and so quick right away?
Yeah, for sure. You know, so I'm super thankful to Coach Kelly and all those coaches over there.
So that was Kyle Phillips. I always like to bring, you know, we're able to have those conversations. I like to bring that to the show. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. It's about that time for Run TMC. Let's go.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you, fresh.
Ooh, I need those strings.
It is.
Ah. Energize. Here we go. The music fades. The lights dim. You know what time it is. And now, starting for your Dallas Mavericks at power forward, Ronald Jerome Popeye Jones.
And now, starring in The Last Dragon, Bruce Leroy.
Who's the baddest? That's right. Extra energized for this intro. Why? Oh. It is the season opener. The regular season is finally upon us. How about it?
Man, I'm so pumped up, dude.
You should be pumped up, man. There's a lot going on in this game. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thursday night football, you got that. The Bills and get the preview, the Titans week 2 matchup. In Buffalo. Well, ooh. I tell you what, with that one, I'm going to find the wing spot. That's all I'm thinking. But
well,
look,
is that going to be a barn burner, man? What?
You got to take it 1 week at a time. So I'm not going to spit it forward to week 2. But it,
absolutely.
Hey, look,
man,
you know, having played in the league, I know, having covered it for so long, you can't take any week for granted. And that's something that the Titans can't do this week against the Giants. And
you absolutely.
For me.
But you know what? Okay, you know what's so funny, man?
What's that?
I'm glad you said that, because even me and you were talking last year. We were like, oh, the Tennessee Titans are going to run over Arizona. They ain't got nobody, this and that.
Look up,
and Chandler had 5 sacks. We're like, what in Sam E. Flock of Seagulls is going on?
That's right. So we'll
can't
see.
Overlook a team. Yeah.
we'll see this week. The big thing for me and the big reason why there should be some concern about this Giants team, if you're a fan or anything like that, is Wink Martindale. And this dude, like, he's going to bring the whole tri-state area on blitzes. When I say tri-state, I'm talking about New York, New Jersey, and Philly. Some people say New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Look, man, like, I say New York, New Jersey, and Philly. You know what I'm saying? But regardless, that's what's coming on almost every down, man. He likes to bring that blitz. So I wanted to just kind of get into that with you. Overload blitz, nickel blitzes, and those type of things. That was actually the outline of what I went over on Whiteboard Wednesday. So I figured we could talk a little shop about this. You know, as a receiver, what's your overall take on the ultra aggressive attack that a guy like Wink Martindale brings?
I mean, it is. Just like you said, he's going to bring a lot of blitzes. He's going to bring the safety and do all those things. But here's the deal. If you have the quarterback and the receiver on the same page, you can beat the blitz. And 100%. And I'm gonna give you an illustration. I remember in 1999 we were playing the Atlanta Falcons. This is on our way to the Super Bowl. And we was having a great season, and me and all the receivers and Les Steckel, we were all in the in the meeting room. And coach said, when we're in 21 personnel, that's two backs, one tight end, and two wide receivers, I'm the X receiver, and I'm on the weak side. He says when that safety scrolls down and he blitzes, at any route that you run, our side adjust was a slant. So every day in practice, we walk through it, we talk through it, we did all those things. So now we get exactly in the game. Y-check goes in motion, the safety scrolls down. All of a sudden, me and Steve there look at each other. We knew that when he blitzes, the safety, but the cornerback's up, I run a slant, I catch the ball, touchdown. So I understand that he's going to send a lot of blitzes, he's going to send a lot of things, but if the quarterback and receiver are on the same page, then they can be successful.
Yeah, and this is why Ryan Tannehill said they're doing some extra time fine-tuning the side adjustments, because not only do you have to have that on the same page, of course, but there's newness, right, between Tannehill and pretty much all of his top pass catchers, except for Westbrook and Kenny. So you do have to spend those extra time, see how it looks, and just, know that communication that has to be there. And it's not always verbal, right? Like, most of the time it's not. You just said how you and Steve McNair looked at each other and knew what time it was.
We knew it.
This is something that comes with extra effort and time to get that chemistry. But here's the thing that really interests me is with Martindale, what he does, right? Sometimes you have those safeties up there in the gap, right?
Right.
And they're mugging those gaps. And then you'll have, in this case against the Giants, it'll be either Dexter Lawrence or Leonard Williams. Hand in the dirt. The safeties are mugging the gaps. And you'll have a linebacker there too. And it's like, okay, I see that there's four guys on this side. They're overloading, clearly.
Right.
But who's coming and who's dropping? How do you as a receiver handle that? Because you just said your sight adjustment, right? Boom. You run the slant. But how do you go about handling that on the fly? Like, what's the thought process?
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, as a receiver, Les Steckel always told me that if you watch the safeties are going to tell you exactly what they're doing. If the safeties are in those gaps, or the safeties are, just say they're in their third or in their halves, and they're walking around, they're kind of antsy. 9 times out of 10, that means they're moving somewhere else. So if they're staying stationary, that means they're not going anywhere. See, and I know it sounds simple, and I know it sounds cliche, but all you got to do is watch. It's kind of like this, I know this is a kind of goofy illustration. Just imagine if somebody was cheating, okay? And they're looking around to see if anybody's around. If he's antsy, he's going to try to get up out of there. If he knows that he's doing the right thing, he's going to stay in position. So the same thing in football, and I know that's a crazy illustration, but watch the body language of the safety. If the safety stands stationary, he ain't going nowhere. If he's consistently moving and looking around, that means he's rotating somewhere.
That's a great point, and that's something that, watching the Ravens under Martindale, one of the things that they did, Tavon Young was their nickel guy. they would send him a lot. And he got a couple sacks that way. And it's funny because you say watch the safety and his movement. So a lot of times what they would do is have that safety, like he would shade slightly towards that side where the nickel blitz was coming from, just slightly. Mm-hmm. Not enough to give it away, but you see like he's a little bit towards that side. If you're watching the safety, because at the snap, what the safety would do, so a lot of times this happened, well, obviously we have the slot on that side. It's either twins or trips, one or the other.
Right.
Right? So he's naturally going to shade to that side where there's more receivers. But what he would do a lot of times is come down off of that post at the snap and pick up one of those receivers, whoever the nickel was leaving when he blitzed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny you mentioned that, and that's a great point I didn't even think about. If you're watching that safety, you'll see him just kind of like be happy feet a little bit, and then it snaps, and boom, he's down there. And then at the same time, that nickel will be happy feet also.
Mm-hmm. What's it like?
Like I'm just curious, is you're going through, like the quarterback's going through the cadence, right? You hear the crowd. You're looking at that. Walk me through it, just like that experience, because I'm really curious what that has to be like. You know, playing in front of 50,000 people, and you got all that you have to process.
But see, the thing about it is, and I noticed, I know I said it before, but when we do the walkthroughs, we're looking at that in slow motion.
Okay.
And the funny thing about it is and when I talked about that Atlanta game, right when when Wycheck went in motion, it was like, it was the weirdest thing. It was like the safety rotated over, like slow motion. Like, it was kind of like alarm went off quick. I saw this movie before. But here's the great part about the whole situation that Tannehill and Todd Downing can do. You made a perfect example of it is cadence.
Yeah.
Cadence. If you do it on a quick count, they may burn you. But if you do it like, say it, hut, hut, then all of a sudden, they got to declare.
Right.
Once they declare, you know what the safety's going to do. You're going to know if he's going to rotate. You're going to know where he's going to be, because at the end of the day, when he says, and the offense is still standing there, those guys are trying to hurry up and get in a position, and you catch them, and you see, oh, I see you. That's why Brady's so good, because he knows exactly what happens.
Yeah, and that is, you're like, ha-ha! Like that, right? You're like, oh, shoot. Even as a receiver, you almost jump. You know what I mean?
Gave it up.
Obviously, you're watching the ball, so you better not jump. But
100%.
That's a great point. How do you like the matchups, right? Dory Jackson, Aaron Robinson, Darnay Holmes. I really like Darnay Holmes.
So. It's going to be good. I mean, and I think that we'll win on the perimeter. And the reason why I say we'll win, because I studied Dory and CJ, my son, played in Notre Dame, and they played against him at USC. He said the one thing that Dory does is he guesses a lot. And I think with the route running and the double moves that I hope Todd Downing does, I think we really take advantage of Dory Jackson. But here's the deal, too. Is you better believe he's coming on with a chip on his shoulder. He wants to prove to the Tennessee Titans that they lost a great player. So it's going to be a great battle. But I think with the bigger receivers that we have, with Woods and Traylon Burks and Westbrook, all those big body guys, even though there might be tight coverage, I think that we still have the capability of making that tough catch.
I gave my matchup, my favorite matchup, and we'll do this every week too.
Okay.
I give my favorite matchup, not for any, like, whether it's favorable for the Titans or the Giants, I just like seeing, you know, former teammates go against each other.
Yeah, me too.
Darnay Holmes and Kyle Phillips.
Ooh.
That's a guaranteed matchup. Like, you could say Dory Jackson and Robert Woods, too, you know, Sarah High School guys. And that's, that's pretty cool. But you may not see them go against each other over and over. You're going to see Darnay Holmes and Kyle Phillips over and over again in the slot. So that's my favorite matchup. What is your favorite matchup? And it could be on defense as well. What's your favorite?
You made it clear that it's a Dory. I think a Dory, and I don't know what they're going to do when they go on third and long, or are they going to put a Dory in the slot? I don't know. But I think that if a Dory Jackson, you know, on third down or whatever, or when they go nickel or dime or whatever, if they move him to the slot and put him on Kyler Phillips, I would love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll have Darnay Holmes is pretty much their designated slot guy. So they'll have
him. What if Kyle Phillips starts killing him?
Well, yeah, if he starts cooking them, then you got to make adjustments. You know what I mean? You got to. So that could be, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited overall because, you know, it's going to be some good matchups on offense, defense, special teams. And, you know, I'm just glad football season is here, man.
Yeah, and you can just feel that energy. And let me say this. being back in the locker room was a great thing, man. I'm glad that we were able to do that. Before we get out of here, we're going to introduce a segment that, or reintroduce, we're just going to make it part of Run TMC now. Figure it'd be good to get our opinion on different things. And that segment, you know what? Can I get that music, DJ?
Blow the whistle.
Yeah.
Blow the whistle.
So you heard the song Blow the Whistle. We're going to blow the whistle every week. There's going to be one thing that we're going to blow the whistle on within football. It could be college. It could be NFL. This week, man, I'm blowing the whistle on LSU receiver Kayshon Boutte. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago about the importance of checking in early and how sometimes, you know, what you got to do if you have an emotional player, you got to get him to rock early so that way he checks in. 100%. You avoid the checking out. That's what he did in that game. The body language was really bad, in my opinion. He had opportunities. Like, if you're going to sulk about not getting the ball when it comes your way,
better make it.
Make a play.
Yeah.
As David James, you know, pointed out, there was an opportunity for him to score a touchdown, but he didn't even look up. Like, you gotta do better. And then they showed him on the sideline, and it's just like, bro, you wear number 7. That's a very, very significant number for the LSU. That means that you're someone that other people are looking to.
That's a great point.
Right? When you're in the foxhole and stuff is going crazy, you have to be the one to set the tone and the morale. Speaking of that, congratulations to Ola Adeniyi, first time captain. I had that popped into my mind. But you have to be the guy to set that tone and keep the morale high. You can't be the one that's drained. That energy that he had on the sideline, it had to have been draining. And I'm not here to, like, bag on the kid. You know what I mean? Like, I get, you know, you want the football. There's a lot at stake for you. He could have had something off the field going on. I don't know. But I just didn't like the way that looked.
Yeah, but the thing about it is everybody always talk about receivers having a bad rap of being divas. And I say that respectfully. I'm not calling him that, and I'll never disrespect another man. But when you're in a situation to where it's crunch time and you need to make a play and you're sitting there soaking on the sidelines, you made it about you as opposed to the team. That's what I really disagree with.
Yeah, that was a tough situation. So there we have it. I'll let you go ahead and give your prediction, man. You know, what are you thinking with this matchup?
I'm kind of conflicted. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about the Tennessee Titans are going to blow them out, and I'm kind of leaning that way. But I think it's going to be closer than what we think. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to win 28-14.
There you have it. Yeah. The Titans win. Well, I appreciate it.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, man. We were playing a game in Macaulay because, you know, I coach for NBA. And some of the kids came up to me. I was like, man, your show on 102.5 is great. You do it with TD. I'm like, yeah. They're like, man, does he look like Gary Coleman, Don Cheadle, or Sam Cassell? I said Sam Cassell, and the whole stadium gave me a standing ovation. You're correct.
You big dummy.
This is Robert Woods, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, here we go. Talking with TD back from the break. Little theme music right there. Because that's exactly where we're going. New York, New Jersey, we'll mix it together. And we're going to bring in my teammate, ESPN NFL Nation Giants reporter, Jordan Rodnon. Jordan, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm impressed. You got the Robert Woods leading, you know? You got it all set up. You sound super professional. You got everybody, you know, working with you over there.
Hey, man, we got to, you know, it's like putting makeup on a pig, man. We got to make this thing look pretty. But all jokes aside, man, this is a really interesting matchup. It's one on paper that's considered to be so lopsided. I guess we'll start with this. What is it that makes you feel as though the Giants have any type of remote chance in this game?
I mean, honestly, the last few years, it's been a mess, especially offensively. Their line has been really, last year might have been the worst that it was, and that's saying a lot. And they averaged 15.2 points per game, Teron, in the NFL, right? I mean, that's like next level, like terrible. I think with Brian Daboll, with Mike Kafka, who's coming from Kansas City as the offensive coordinator, with Daboll's system primarily, you know, and some weapons to work with, and a little bit of an improved offensive line, like they used the 7th overall pick on Evan Neal. Mm-hmm. Their top free agent acquisition was Mark Lewinsky, who's going to start at guard. So I think, you know, this Giants team is going to be able to move the ball offensively. They're going to be able to score some points. They're not going to be – it's not going to be like with last year. Like, if they were down, like, 10-0, you're like, oh, game's over. Like, they legitimately wouldn't be able to come back and win. It was, like, almost impossible. And really, that's the last few years. So I think there's optimism with this new regime and offensively – that they're going to be competent. They're going to be able at times to be able to put up points, which is different from the years past.
What are you expecting from that blitzkrieg defense that Wink Martindale brings? Like, is he going to be able to, you know, kind of work the same concepts as he did with Baltimore?
Yeah, I think that's like a two-part question. Like, yeah, in general, I'm expecting them to be look a lot like Baltimore, where they're just, there's just going to be so many guys near the line of scrimmage, and you're never going to be, you're never really going to know who's actually coming and who's actually, you know, dropping back. And I think that's what his system is based on. And that's what you're going to see this week. But at the same time, what you're going to see when you're playing the Titans, I'm not expecting Kayvon Thibodeau or Azeez Ojulari to play. They're both been out with injuries. So those are the Giants' top two pass rushers. So getting to the quarterback is going to have to be completely manufactured in this game if those two don't play as expected. So it'll be interesting to see what his defense looks like overall. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot like what you saw with the Ravens the last couple of years, bringing guys from all kinds of places. Now, whether they can hold up on the back end, I guess we'll see. We'll see when the time comes. But, yeah, that's what you should expect to see from the Giants.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Giants reporter Jordan Rana. Jordan, Wink Martindale is a guy whose personality and energy matches the way he approaches defense. Have you noticed like an extra spark or kick within the Giants defense? You know, a guy like Adoree Jackson who's so laid back and nonchalant, like are they any different?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you see, like, you know, that you see Martindale's personality kind of show in the defense and just how they operate in general. Like, there's always movement. There's always talking. It just seems like there's a lot of energy to it. And it's like, hey, we're going to kick your teeth in and show no remorse when we do it. Like, that's the attitude that they seem to have.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see what happens when they take a punch, when they get their teeth kicked in a couple of times. But I do think that this can be a pretty good defense. I'm a little concerned about them week one without the pass rushers. But overall, I think this is a defense that can surprise people a little bit, especially if they could hold up in the back end, really that CB2 spot with Aaron Robinson, the guy who really was handed the job and he didn't earn it. Because he almost was given the job because they didn't have anything else there, and this preseason and training camp didn't exactly go well for him, even though he's still the starter in that spot.
Well, let me ask you this about another guy on the opposite side of the ball, Kadarius Toney. Right, you look at Mike Kafka coming from Kansas City, obviously not the play caller, didn't solely design the plays, but they did a lot in Kansas City to get Tyreek Hill the football and took advantage of him. Brian Daboll coming from Buffalo. We know what Stephon Diggs, you know, did with Josh Allen there. Are you seeing a similar effort to get Kadarius Toney as like a featured player?
Yeah, you know, here's the hard part about Kadarius Toney. The dude is never on the field. So it's really hard to get a feel for him. Like, you know, he's super talented, but he missed the spring. He had a knee procedure. He missed most of the summer. He had, you know, was dealing with a hamstring problem. Like, I'm not really even sure how the Giants are going to use their wide receivers. I mean, you have Toney, you have Sterling Shepard, you have Kenny Galladay. You know, those three guys will handle mostly the primary outside roles. Wandale Robinson's going to be in the slot. Mm. But I think you're just going to see a constant rotation with those guys because Shepard is coming off an Achilles injury. He was just cleared a couple weeks ago. He's going to play, but, you know, he's kind of coming back. Tony's kind of coming back. I think he's going to have to basically earn his way back in and earn the trust of this new staff. And I'm not sure, like, the game plan's not going to be, I don't believe, hey, we have to get the ball to Kadarius Tony. This is the guy we're going to utilize. Like, they're not at the point yet, I don't think, where they fully trust him to do that. So I think you're going to see that in the opener. It's kind of going to be a feeling out process. Okay, who is Daniel Jones's guy? Because I don't think we know that right now. They don't really have much of a tight end. It's one of those four receivers I mentioned. None of them have been on the field consistently much in the last year or two. So I think they're going to have to feel it out, and I think that's what we're going to see a lot of in week one, is it's going to be, all right, let's see what we have here with these guys.
The best ability is availability.
Availability.
That's a fact. One guy who plans to be available all the time, Saquon Barkley, and he is such a tremendous player. How has he looked, and what's his mindset coming into this season?
Yeah, Saquon's in, like, you know, screw you mode to everybody, and he's really got that redemption season kind of tone. He hasn't been shy about telling people, hey, you know, maybe even telling me on multiple occasions, if you've been on the other side of the table, you better stay over there kind of deal. You know, he's actually said that multiple times about staying on the other side of the table to people who've turned on him. And he notices he has doubters, really kind of for the first time in his professional and collegiate, you know, career. So he's out to sort of prove something. Now, he says he does, you know, that's not his ultimate goal, is to prove everybody wrong, but he will use it as motivation. And this also happens to be a contract year for him. He's been healthy all summer, looking as good as I've seen him in several years. Now, the question with Saquon Barkley is always this, you know, can he stay healthy? Again, like you said, the best availability, you know, the best ability is availability. And he hasn't been available for most of the, you know, the last 3 years. He's been banged up. So it's just a matter of whether he can stay healthy. And I, like I said before, I think he has a lot more confidence in himself, in his knee in year two. And you're seeing a difference. He's running significantly harder. And I think you'll notice that when you're watching him against the Titans this week. He's not just looking like he's back to himself athletically. He's also running hard and confidently, which, to be quite honest, he didn't do last year. He played poorly last year. There's a stat, it's like, I believe it's called expected yards per carry.
Yeah.
And he was in the negative. Basically, that was saying he was a below-average player last year, and that's taking into account the holes he was given, you know, and everything, his offensive line, everything. And he was a below-average player. I don't think that's the Saquon Barkley we're going to see starting on Sunday in Tennessee.
Okay, so let's move it to the quarterback, Daniel Jones. Brian Daboll has been granted the title of QB Whisperer after everything with Josh Allen. What's the prospects? What are the prospects of Daniel Jones having a turnaround season?
Yeah, you know, Daniel Jones has flashed over the last couple of years. And really what I think he ultimately is he's Ryan Tannehill. Like, that's the level quarterback he is. He can do some things. He's not quite good enough to carry the team, but he's good enough to win with, and if you have the right team around him. Now, that's the question, right? How much success can he have? Does he really still have the right team around him? Does he have enough around him? The offensive line, while better, still has its deficiencies. Especially probably on the interior. So, you know, Simmons is going to be a handful for them, I'm sure, like he is for pretty much for everyone. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a really, really good player, borderlining on becoming a great player. And, you know, he can give them fifth, I think. So it's like that's where you're at with Daniel Jones. I think he'll be able to, you'll see more of those flashes. Will he be able to do it consistently, though? Maybe. But I think we're gonna, right now he's in good shape because those guys we talked about, those playmakers, at least they're healthy now. I think that's a big boost for him. Can they stay healthy? I'm not so sure. Will he blow them away? Like, does he have enough around him to probably blow them away? You know, you definitely can have, it's fair to have your questions about that right now.
Before we get you out of here, I'm sure you talked to Dory Jackson about going against his former team. What's some of the feedback you got? What's his mindset? How is he? 'Cause he, like I said, he's such a nonchalant guy. Like, it's hard to see him get upset, you know what I mean? Or even just, like, have that spice to him. What's it been like?
Definitely. No, that's exactly what you saw from him. You know, he downplayed the whole thing, right? Of, yeah, nah, no big deal. No, I don't have any hard feelings. That was the place that drafted me, you know. And what he said was he said all the right things in that regard, in that, you know, it's just another game for him. He does, you know, it is nice, and it does maybe mean a little more to him that he's going back to Tennessee, which is a place where he played, I guess it was the first 3 years of his career. Did he make it to the fourth year? I don't think he did, right?
No, he did, because they released him into the fifth year.
They cut him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut him. But he almost made it to year four. But he didn't. But I think that's what you're getting from him. It means a little more maybe than a normal game, but no harsh feelings. You know, he's not taking it personally, even though the reality is he didn't like the way it ended there, you know, the way that they sort of didn't think he, you know, was rushing his way back from injury. They thought he could have been coming back. He thought he, you know, he was saying my knee's still bothering me. You know, they didn't like the way that they kind of handled it. It was kind of, oh, you know, partly their fault that the injury became worse. So, but you don't really get that from him at this point. Like, you know, this is something that we've talked about in the past, but when it came up to this game, it was like, nah, man, you know, I'm just looking forward to starting the season strong. And he's their clear-cut number one cornerback this year. So a lot of responsibility on Adoree Jackson's plate.
Yeah, a lot will be asked for him, especially being in that scheme where it's, look, you're on an island. Adoree Island is what he's going
to,
you know, run into. So we'll see how that
but
works.
But that is what he does well, Teron, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
he
absolutely.
Is a good man-to-man guy when he's absolutely. Healthy and feeling good. Like, that's what he does pretty well.
Yeah, no, you're spot on with that. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. Definitely hit me up whenever you touch, man. We'll go get some hot chicken or there's a pizza spot that I could take you to as well, one or the other. But hit me up, man, when you
All right. Man. We're going to have to do that hot chicken. I mean, when you're coming from New York, you don't really go, you're not really like, let me go to other cities to have pizza. You
know, yeah, so true,
the
true.
Hot chicken, I'm in. The pizza, maybe next time.
Well, I don't give any free shout-outs, but the place is it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool experience. But, yeah, hot chicken is what we'll do.
All right, sounds like a deal.
So that was Jordan Rana talking shop, man. Give you an overview of the Giants. It'll be interesting. Boy, Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, if those guys aren't available, man, that makes things a lot better for the Titans. Either way, I think they're in really good shape. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Make sure you check out our stories on ESPN.com. Got a Ryan Tannehill story posted, and there's a Derrick Henry one as well. So check those out, ESPN.com. Click teams, click Titans, check it out. Also, make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your awesome listening material. Talking with TD, search that. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.